Thank you so much, Cindy. And thanks for the beautiful music. Okay, we're going to take a moment. So we come to this moment together. I am empty. I have nothing that I bring with me to this moment. So I invite you to do the same. However, when we look inside, we see that we are full of all kinds of things. And instead of resisting or trying to get rid of anything, let's just be with it. Please take a nice deep breath, as if you were bringing new life into your body. And then release it as if you were letting go. And let's do that again, this time a double inhale. Fill up your lungs. Hold the breath if you can. Squeeze up some muscles. And then release all that tension with an exhale. And then if you can, sit nice and attentive so that your spine is the antenna, your heart is opened, palms are definitely up today in that gesture of receiving. Open hands, notice the softness of your fingers. Notice the firmness of your poise, yet the gentleness of your spirit. And now we attend the breath like a precious little creature. Like watching a butterfly. Just watch it move. Each breath is a gift to you. So now let us take the breath and make each breath a gift to the world. As if we were breathing for others. Can you feel the eternal grace of your breathing? And now please soften again everything around your attention. But let your attention become more keenly focused. Bring now to mind an angel. One that you know well, one that serves you in your greatest time of need. And what is this divine being saying to you right now? Perhaps he or she is lifting you upward, ever higher, into your own world. Perhaps he or she is bringing you closer to God, closer to the divine, closer to the truth of your being. And as the two of you travel together, notice now that you have merged as one being, going into pure light. And in this light of creation, of God, of pure being, let us remain for a while in pure, beautiful, blissful silence. If your mind wanders, bring it back to center, single point of focus. And through that point, let the light come into you and fill you. And then please take your hands and place them on your heart as if you were giving yourself a hug, but much more than that. And take this moment to realize what a profound gift you are to the planet Earth and to all beings that live here. You are the voice of spirit on Earth. And so we make an affirmation, I am the voice of spirit on earth. I am. I am. Thank you, God. Amen.
Together, it's our Don't you think it's time?
I think it's time. Thank you so much. Boy, what a wonderful song. I was sitting really feeling that music again today, and I just thank you so much for that. The music has its, that quality of being a, like a golden elixir that just gets into your soul and just does something, takes you into timelessness. And so it's just such a blessing to do that, and it made me really realize how important what we do right now is in this moment. And not just us here, but just what we do as human beings in the moment that we're in, how important it is. And as I have this talk prepared for you today, there's only a few things that I really know about it. I don't know how to give it, like I say, and it's getting more and more interesting that way, because Spirit always comes in and informs just what needs to be talked about today. And it does it through the music, and it does it through each of us here today. And so in that way, we really have something that we want to give to you. And that is the blessing. That is the importance of this message. And these messages that I have to share with you today, I have some stuff from Swami Kriyananda and some stuff from the Centers for Action and Contemplation. And I have some stuff from a friar that lived before during the time of Charles and Myrtle. And I have some things from Unity's Daily Word. I mean, I'm sorry, the Revealing Word and the... Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, all kinds of stuff. And where did it come from? It came from human beings that wanted to give to the world. And that's what I love about it. There's this special magic in it. And so let that be our message today, that giving is receiving. And it's not in what we get, but what we give, that we realize the best part of us and why we are here on planet Earth doing what we are doing. And what are we doing? Because if you were like me, what a time of indecisiveness and, I don't want to say ambivalence, but vacillation, where is this the right path or is this the right path? And we come to a fork in the road, which one will we go down? And Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Which way? Well, we've got to pick a way, because we cannot stagnate. We must do something. So with all that, I want to share with you what this Quaker, his name is Thomas Kelly, and he's a mystic, and he lived in exactly the time of Charles and Myrtle. About 1893 to 1941 was his life. And he's a mystic. And the mystics always have these messages that do what music does. Gets in there and it activates something I may not have known was there. And it invites me, I want to say higher, but deeper at the same time. It invites me into a greater expression of what I am to do here. And I think it's true for all of us in that way. And so in the email, you get an email every day from Richard Rohr if you'd like to. And in this email, he talks about what Thomas Kelly said, and I've consolidated it into this little thing I want to share. He says, deep within us all, there is an amazing inner sanctuary of the soul to which we may continually return. Eternity is at our hearts, pressing upon our time-worn lives, warming us with intimations of an astounding destiny, calling us home unto itself. Don't you feel that? Yielding to these persuasions is the beginning of true life. Here is the slumbering Christ, stirring to be awakened, to become the soul we clothe in earthly form and action. Wow. This Christ is within us all. You who hear these words, who really hear these words, already know this inner life and light. For by this very light within is the recognition given. That's how we recognize it, because we are that light. In this humanistic age, we suppose that we are the initiators and God is the responder, but the living Christ within is the initiator and we are the responders. Uh-oh. We must now take responsibility if we are to realize this. And what a thing that is. God, won't you come to me? And it's quite different than that. God is already here, calling to us from the depths of our soul. It is we that must go. So it really got me thinking, you know, we hear these terms, God, Christ, Christianity, devils, demons, and angels. And what are they? What are these things? And don't they arise a certain antipathy? I think that God is one of the most charged words on planet Earth. Christ's certainly not a distant competitor to all that, right up there. You go out in the streets and you say, Christ said so. And some people will love it and some people will want to run from you. So I went to our original writings, the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary and the Revealing Word, and I looked up Christ in there. Because if we're talking about this Christ within us all, what is that? Is it Jesus Christ? Is Christ Jesus' last name? We all laugh because we know, no, that's not true. So what did the original teachers of unity say? And they said, Christ is the perfect idea of God. Just that simple, the perfect idea of God. And that lives in you and in me. Jesus' name represents an individual expression of the Christ idea, a part of it, but Christ existed long before Jesus. Christ abides in each person as his potential perfection. So that gives a new meaning to Christ. If we go up to somebody on the street who doesn't know and we say, your potential perfection wants to be expressed as your very life, what would that do? If a person's ready, they'll want to know more. If they're not ready, they will run for the hills, just like me. When we're ready, no one can say anything wrong. But when we're not ready, no one can say anything right. So this idea of Christ and Christianity then, here comes Jesus, and what does he do? What is Christianity for? And how many different forms? Gary Renard says there are at least 20,000 Christian denominations, 20,000 different ways to engage what we're talking about today. In unity, Christianity is the science of eternal life. I like that. The science of eternal life. Governed by scientific principles of mind action, the foundation of all sciences. So we begin to see that our world arises through our mind, and that is the practice of what we call Christianity. It began with Jesus and carried through his apostles, and what did they get to do when they laid hold of this science of eternal life? Well, they got to heal the sick, cast out demons, and even raise the dead. And aren't those the Bible stories that we all love? Are they literal? Are they metaphor? What are they? And we begin to look at our life and say, what is it for me? How does a Bible story from 2,000 years ago apply to me now in terms of casting out a demon? But they say in the writings that whenever truth is declared in the name of Jesus Christ, the demons of fear and disease are cast out. That is interesting to me, and I'll tell you why. I think it was the last time that I got the flu, the common flu, and I was sick. You know how it gets. You're so sick that you can't even imagine living a normal life ever again. You're sick, sick, sick. And I took a picture of Jesus, and I put it on my dresser so that when I turned my head on the pillow, I was looking right at Jesus. And Jesus was not looking back at me. It's interesting, in pictures of Jesus, he's usually not looking directly at me. But he's there, and he's representing something. And as I'm looking at him, I'm realizing I'm not actually sick, but I really believe I am, and I really feel like I am. So I did this thing by accident. I declared the name of Jesus Christ. I said something like, Jesus, can you help me? I'm sick. And Jesus just stood there. But what I had done is I'd called to something deeper within me. And it told me to be grateful for this illness. So I started to practice gratitude, and I started to think about when I was able to get up and walk to the bathroom or get some little thing to eat or something. I thought, what a weird blessing this life is, even with this tremendous illness. And so through this process of gratitude, something happened in me. And I got better. I don't know that I got better any quicker than if I hadn't practiced gratitude or called on Jesus or whatever it was. But I know that I've never had the flu since. And that was like 6 years ago or something. And I don't know how that happens or why. But I know that it was a spiritual power. And I know that it has something to do with this weird Christianity. Because that guy 6 years ago who had the flu never would have thought he'd been on a podium talking about Christ, Jesus, and God. And I can tell you that for sure. So the whole title of this talk today is Angels and Demons. And if you saw the write-up on our Facebook, you might have thought that I was going to review Dan Brown's book. But that's not true. I started to really get interested in what is a demon and what is an angel. Because we've talked a lot about angels, you and I. And you've had a lot of experience with your own angels, haven't you? And you certainly, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, have had your own experiences with your own demons. So what is a demon? What is a devil? Well, I'll go back to those writings, the original Unity writings. It talks about the devil is the mass of thoughts that has been built up in race consciousness, in the collective consciousness, through many generations, which crystallize into human personality and oppress and reject God. That's a hell of an idea of the devil, isn't it? Was that a pun? To think about the devil not as this horned creature who's bearing down your door, who's waiting in the car to screw you up, but the devil as a state of consciousness, not just individually, but collectively, rooted in the idea that we could fail, rooted in the idea of death and disease. And that it opposes God. That is an interesting thing. So then what is a demon, I say, and are they different? Is a demon different from a devil in how we view Christianity and what we practice as a way of life? Well, demons or evil spirits or conditions of mind or states of consciousness have been developed because creative power has been used in an unwise or ignorant way. Wow. So I feel like I have a demon when really what I have done is taken divine power and used it ignorantly. And remember, we talked about ignorance. We seem to always talk about ignorance because it's basically the opposite of enlightenment. I just didn't know. I just didn't know that I could call on a divine power and get a healing. Demons or devils are error states of mind which have to be lifted up by the quickening power of spirit. No one can do that for us. I've seen guys, before this pandemic, I would do a lot of work in the jails, and I'd see guys in there with a multitude of demons, and I'd see the devil at work real well the way we've talked about it today. And then I'd see the guy who would lay hold of the spiritual power, and he would just lift right up above it all. And all of a sudden, he started to forgive everyone. All the inmates who he once condemned not too long ago, his parents, His people, his judges, his cops, his lawyers, all those things he forgave. And he got to lift himself up and live in that high spiritual state right in the confines of those cement walls. I've seen this happen. Are we getting dark or are we getting light? What are we getting today? Well, let's talk about angels. What is an angel? Well, the Fillmores say that an angel is a messenger of God, the projection into consciousness of spiritual truth. That simple. In which is centered the power of God to overcome all limited beliefs and conditions. And isn't that what happened with my friends in jail that I watched? They overcame their own belief and lifted up. How many saints have been done their best work locked in a prison? And there's a reason for that. The office of the angels is to guard, guide, and direct the natural forces of mind and body, which have in them the future of the whole human being. Wow. The angel that lives inside of me's job is to guide and direct me. And it's always calling. It's me that won't answer. And in the time that I do, I realize what we are talking about today. There's so much to that. I want to tell you about 10 stories right now. I'm going to read one from Swami Kriyananda. It's a really good one. But first, I'll tell you a personal one. And that is my pressure washer. And I had taken off the starter thing because it was doing something weird and put it back on and was pressure washing. And I looked up and it had fallen off. And the thing had moved about 10 feet. And so where's the bolts? And how am I going to go find those bolts? And so I said, oh, no, what am I going to do? And I remember about St. Anthony. He's the finder. So I said, Tony, look around. Something's lost and can't be found. And I went up there and looked. I couldn't find anything. So I called on an angel. And there, my sweetheart came out of the house. And I remembered that she can find anything. I don't know why. But I said, honey, I've lost 3 bolts and the washers that go on them, and I can't find them. She said, where are they? I said, in the gravel. Gravel's gray just like the bolts. How are we going to find them? She went and found every one, and I don't know how. And in that moment, the angel had done it. Yeah, I don't know how that happens. It's kind of, you know, these talks are fun because they're downreaching and they're also so silly, and that's like our human life, isn't it? We just got to laugh at ourselves sometimes. So Swami Kriyananda, in this book, it's called The Essence of the Bhagavad Gita, explained by Paramahansa Yogananda. Swami Kriyananda gave his life to Paramahansa Yogananda's teachings and carrying them forward in the way that we're talking about today. And so I want to read to you this wonderful story that he shares. He says, our view of human development needs to be expanded. Matter, it is known as a scientific fact, is truly a vibration of energy. There are, according to India's ancient wisdom, many kinds of energy emanating from the astral level of cosmic manifestation. Some of these energies are conscious, egoic entities that produce and sustain life on the planet. Some of these entities are more highly evolved than others and deserve the name devas or shining angels. Others are nature spirits, fairies, and the like. Still others are lower, demons and devils. You can see where I got interested. So he talks about a friend of his who was an alpinist. That is, someone who climbs the Alpine mountains. And in that capacity, this man made several first ascensions. On one such climb, he found, just when he was almost at the peak, that the mountain suddenly curved outward. It was impossible to climb any higher and equally impossible to climb down again. The man was stuck. He faced only 2 reasonable choices: to remain on the ledge where he was to starve to death, or to make a suicidal leap off the precipice. Both choices, he decided, were unacceptable. Though reason shouted against the third choice, he proceeded to climb higher, backwards up the mountain, if you will. As the mountain began its curve outward, he fell back again onto the ledge. And he said, well, I might as well die trying as die by starvation. He therefore tried again and yet again. Each time, at the same point on the curve, he fell back onto the ledge again. So think about that. You're climbing against gravity, and each time he gets up, he falls onto the ledge. Probably hurt. It's probably cold, and he's probably scared. On perhaps the 25th try, as he reached the same point of inevitable return, a force suddenly pushed him against the mountain and held him there until he reached the top, from where he could descend down the other side easily. How to explain this miracle? Surely it must be attributed to angelic intervention. How much is in that story when you really think about it? This really happened. This mountain climber told Swami Kriyananda the story that he knew he was going to die. And how many of us are there in our life on some false summit where we look and we say, I'll just stay here and starve to death, which is a spiritual term for not be nourished in my life the way that I know in my soul that I want to be. Wayne Dyer calls it dying with your music still in you. So this man says, no, I won't have it. I'm going to climb higher. And in the face of all reason, and in the face of all failure, he says, I'm going to try again. And he accesses the angel within him that holds him up into the next climb so that he can live the rest of his life doing whatever he's doing. I wonder where that man is today when you think about it. And what is your mountain that you have come to? Insurmountable, so it seems. And who will you call on in the depth of your soul? So if we are to begin to cultivate this divine power to change and to grow, we must be aware what we are welcoming, what we are imbibing in everything that we take in, and what we are putting out. For in the spirit of our giving will be our experience. And would you like to know more about that? And it's in this verse that he gets to in the Bhagavad Gita, where he talks about these angels and communing with them. And he talks about the dangers of taking only. It's chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, and I've paraphrased them. Whatever you desire, seek it by offering energy back to the source of all energy. With this offering, commune with the shining angels that they may also commune with you. It is not just a taking, it is also a giving. Through such mutual communion, you will arrive at your highest good and receive from them the earthly fulfillments you so desire. But there's a warning. Who enjoys these gifts without returning due offering is a thief. So that brought me to Jesus. And you know how Jesus throughout the Bible worked with many angels and worked with many demons. And one of his most favorite parlor tricks was when he cast out demons. People loved that. Jesus, get rid of the demon. And he was always doing that, wasn't he? And he trained the apostles, didn't he? And he said that we would all do that. You know, when I think about that with Mary, he cast out 7 demons from Mary. And there's 7 of those what Richard Rohr calls hot sins. You know the ones, greed and lust and all those things that we know mess us up. And the Christ, if you think about that from the Christ, cast out those demons from Mary, she did the work, not Jesus. So in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, well, just before that, actually, the devil's taking Jesus and he's trying to tempt him after Jesus had done the fasting. He's saying, turn these stones into bread if you say you who you are. Jesus says, I don't do parlor tricks. He didn't like those things. So anyway, when it gets to verse 8, again, it says, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor, all of the worldly trappings. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you fall down and worship me. This devil, this demon. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And I love what happens next. Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Isn't that magnificent? So what does that say about Jesus? That he was not perfect. That he didn't always have it all figured out. But when he was able to not just resist that, but to transform it, to bring those devils and demons within himself and say, no, I'm going to lay hold of this high spiritual power. And in that moment, the angels come. I believe and have seen and have noticed through these stories and through the stories of you sharing with me in the stories of our world today, the great gift of overcoming. And it only happens within ourselves. And as we heal ourselves as individual, unique sparks of the divine, we're giving back to the race consciousness, the devil of what exists as the devil today. We give back into the consciousness of all the best that is in us. Many people, we pray, we say, God, come give me this, come give me that. I'm really in a bad place. I really need this from you and that from you. And this is telling me, no. It's different from that. We lay hold of the power that's already in us and we give it to the world. And in that we experience it, not in getting it and having it and realizing it, but in giving it. That in you, the world is healed. And we can rise above together and see from this high mountaintop the truth of what's really going on. You will know in your heart and in your soul the right answer for you and for what to do in any and all situations. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you so much, Kevin. That was wonderful. I was thinking when you were talking about those demons and the angels, I had been watching over the weekend the movie about Harriet Tubman, and that moment where she is beginning to flee. And she said, I will be free or I will be dead. And she made a trek that no one made on their own. She made it all by herself. And of course, you know the story. She came back multiple times and she freed other slaves, and other slaves said the same thing. I will not live like this anymore. I will die before I continue like this. And boy, if you can't just imagine with that sort of commitment, it reminded me on that cliff story, I'm going to get out of here or I'm going to die. That's it. And we hear all the time about stories like that, about, you know, amazing battles where the Navy comes in and they burn their boats on the beach. We are going to win this battle or we're going to die. And I think that's really powerful for us. Most of us in our daily lives don't have those kinds of battles to face. I would say my day on Tuesday was filled with demons from what you said, wasn't it? I'd been sharing with Kevin. I had one of those niggly days on Tuesday where everything went wrong. Minor stuff, but you know, after it starts to pile up a little bit, you're pretty frustrated. And to have the presence of mind to go, oh, this is me, this is my energy, I'm the one creating this frustration. That's the gift in what you read to us and talked to us about this morning. So I hope that's what you come away with, that idea that we are the ones that have the power, and by giving that, that's the gift. So let's sing another song. Ireland's going to come up and lead us in another song.